Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Are you
Do you recognise that? It's The Goonies. The film is 40 years old. Released in 1985, it saw a group of young misfits discover an ancient map, set out on an adventure to find a legendary pirate's long-lost treasure. Well, here to tell us why it was such a hit and why so many of the movies from that time are real family classics is presenter and broadcaster Crossy. And you're so dedicated, Crossy, that you watched this again at the weekend.
Do you know what? Sunday evening, fear of God in me, I was like, will we just do something really nice and relaxing? It's on Netflix. It's nearly 2 hours long. It is beautiful and it's still one of the loveliest movies that
is
you sit
though?
Back.
Oh my
because
God.
I just wonder whether these things really do stand the test of time, or is it just in our little nostalgic minds that we still think they're brilliant, but they're not?
I think because Steven Spielberg's now looking at doing a kind of a newer revamped version of it, I think he has realised there's still something in this. You know, children still want that. And I think, you know, the era we're in now with phones and ChatGPT and all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The Goonies is nothing like that. It is just magical. You're using your imagination and you're looking at all these guys. Like, I was looking at all the lads and the girls that were in this movie and I was like, I knew a guy like that. I knew a girl like that. And it kind of brought you back because you wanted those type of friends. Okay, you didn't want to go and run away from your family and find a big ship and all that sort of stuff, but you still wanted those imagination and the crack with your friends mm-hmm. when you were growing up.
So you didn't cringe when you were watching
No, not one bit whatsoever. If anything, I actually was a bit upset because, you know, we had this and we had these amazing movies and they were always on. Like, do you know what this brought me back to? 6:30 on a Saturday evening, RTE1,
the big movie.
And I was kind of going, The Goonies would have been on that every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And if you didn't have it on tape, you were waiting for it. It sounds really strange.
Well, listen, I base my theory of cringing when you go back on this one? Because this next one was the first film I saw in the cinema, but also my favourite. I thought it was the best thing ever. Probably for about 30 years. And then I watched it back recently and I changed my view. Let's have a listen.
Hurry, Falcor. The nothing's everywhere.
Don't worry. We'll reach the boundaries of Fantasia.
Do you know where they are?
I have no idea.
Then how do we find a human child?
With luck.
Faster, Falcor, faster! We have to hurry!
All right, hang on tight!
I can feel like you're flying in the studio right now with this, yeah?
Well, you see, that's the never-ending story, right? And
yes.
When you see it on the big screen, you haven't seen anything ever on the big screen before. It was magical
mm-hmm.
in 1984. But what I did was, because it's available now to stream, and I sat my children down. I said, come on, we're all going to watch this film. And you should have seen their faces. They were like, what? Can we go now? It was like 20 minutes in. Have we seen
enough?
And
did your heart break kind of
not
halfway
really,
through
because
it?
I sat there with them watching it going, okay, this is really, really bad. Like that flying creature, it looked like someone was holding a teddy up against a green screen and he was on the back of it. Like it was really shocking.
So I think the thing with The Goonies is it didn't really have that sort of magical stuff. So
mm-hmm.
Most of the shots were action shots where I think, with that,
yeah.
you were kind of using your imagination a tiny bit more. I was kind of looking into why do we have such grawl? Why do we have such love for all these movies?
Yeah.
And they were saying it's because it was a simpler time. Like most of us were growing up. We went out, with school holidays coming up. We went out and kicked a ball. We played rounders. We, hopped gardens, did whatever. They were all simpler things. Whereas now kids have their phones. So they don't have that. And they don't have those connections with the movies of the present age now.
Yeah. Do you not think, though, that children growing up now will have films that are special to them in this moment and that they'll feel the same way about them when they're our age?
I don't know, because if you break it into the 90s then, all right, you look at Home Alone. Again, it was about that difficult time in a kid's life where they're a kid. They're not a kid and they're not an adult.
Mm-hmm.
They're a teenager. There's a tad bit of devilment in them and they want to go exploring. Do kids go exploring now? Are they allowed to go exploring? Are they allowed to go away, run through fields, build tree huts, all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, and maybe not as much.
That's why. And actually, a mad thing that I heard about the Goonies was it was all shot scene after scene because Spielberg wanted the cast to know what was going on in each scene, whereas instead of, you know, in most movies
you're back and forth
and, and that's why every little bit when you're looking at their little faces and they're running around the place. I'm sorry, I think I was Chunk. He loved food, I love food. And a friend of mine who was you know, he was always the mouth, he is mouth in the movie, and I think that's what we all relate to, is all those little things.
Well, another one that did work when I showed it at home recently was this one. Let's have a listen.
E.T. Home phone.
E.T. phone home. E.T. phone home. E.T. phone home.
Yeah, it's still really good. Still works.
When you hear that E.T. phone home, there's something inside you that makes you want to cry.
Yeah.
It was just so beautiful. And I'm so happy that nothing, you know, they haven't tried to remake that again, or they haven't tried to, you know, turn it into 2025. And I know there was ads and all that sort of stuff that E.T. appeared in, but I think that movie should just stay there for the rest of its life.
Yeah. And my guys love it because the start of it's quite scary. You know, it's in the dark and he's hanging around in the shed. And no one really knows. And then you have the FBI or whoever those guys are, CIA, out searching in the dark across the fields for him with their torches. So it's a little bit scary.
It's very scary.
And then you have the emotion and the,
Drew Barrymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's mad when you think, you know, massive TV show now, massive career.
Yeah, it was 1982. Like, it is ancient, that film. Still as good now as it was then. Now, next up, we have the coming of age classic. This is Stand By Me. Will we have a listen?
Yeah, let's have a listen to this.
We headed home, and although many thoughts raced through our minds, we barely spoke. We walked through the night and made it back to Castle Rock a little past 5 o'clock on Sunday morning, the day before Labor Day. We'd only been gone 2 days, but somehow the town seemed different, smaller.
I've never watched this, and I've never watched My Girl because I considered them both to be too sad.
This movie stuck with me for an age afterwards. It was a couple of friends. I know where we live in Avon, there was a railway track that was never used beside us, and we had been on that railway track all the time. And one of the lads got a lend of this movie. I remember watching it. So basically, the kids are going to look for a kid, a dead body.
Mm-hmm.
So they're gone looking for this teenager who had passed. And it is just so frightful because when they're going on this walk, you know, you're getting stories about them, emotional stories that probably, you know, when you're a teenager, you started feeling these things, whether you were left out, whether you were being bullied or whatever it was. And this one killed me. Like, it killed me. And then Stand By Me, you know, the music comes
the music
on
is,
as well.
It's fab.
And any time that if I ever, you know, jump into the Irish Sea or whatever, there is a scene in this with leeches, and it has stuck with me for the rest
of my life.
You, even thinking about it.
So is that, are we saying that that's worth going back to as well? If E.T. is worth going back to, the Goonies, because we're creating a little list, never ending story, please don't. That'll ruin it for you.
But like, there's more. Like, there's, if you think of like Indiana Jones, like you're going into all that world, you know, he created a few more movies after that. When you look at music and all that as well, you know, John Williams, like how incredible his music in some of those movies that have happened. You kind of sit there and just listen to that and be transported away so many times.
What about Back to the Future?
Back to the Future, to me, I like, if you liked Cars, if you were a kid who were just a tiny bit into Cars, this was your gateway into it. And seeing Doc and seeing Marty McFly in it, you know, I'm smiling even thinking about it. And there are people probably listening here today that probably haven't watched those movies in those 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is your time to go back for a summer of listening through them.
Well, anyone who's watched that documentary recently about Michael J. Fox will know what a huge star he became after Back to the Future, because he was in, what was he in before? Was it Different Strokes or something beforehand?
Yeah, but I think he's always come back to it as well. You know, he's always respected that time, and I love how he talks about it so much and everything about it. There was one movie that was really kind of mad for me, and I think everyone had that phase that they want to be a karate, was Karate Kid. Mr. Miyagi.
Wax on, wax off.
Daniel. Like, when you hear those, when you hear those things, like, they could be just one word and all of a sudden you're into this plethora of imagination and discovery. And I think, you know, The Karate Kid, they've just got a brand new movie coming out now at the minute. I think it's actually, it's released now. Mm-hmm. So they're still trying their best, you know, to kind of recreate that magic.
There's a TV series of the, I don't think it's called The Karate Kid exactly. But
Cobra
it's,
Kai.
Cobra Kai. But yeah. It's based on the story of The Karate Kid, isn't it?
So it, I think it, that does beg the question for a lot of people is, should we leave those movies in the past or should we keep on regurgitating it? Because will you ever get that element of surprise when you were in the cinema back in the day when you saw The Neverending Story and you were going, what is going on there with this?
Says more about me than it, I think. Yeah. And you would hate for anyone to go near E.T., I think. I think you're right on that one, you know, leave it alone.
Do you think maybe because we're so far advanced when it comes to, you know, what the CGI and all that looks like, that we'd probably kind of ruin it and we'd ruin what E.T. looks like.
Yeah, I think you probably would ruin it, given that you can watch it now, the 1982 version, and still enjoy it. Why, we're so more advanced, aren't we?
Like, I think this is the thing. We're
shocking advanced. The Gremlins as well, from 1984.
The Gremlins terrified me.
Yeah.
It really terrified me. And I think that was one of those movies that were made to terrify kids to obey the rules and to stop messing from your parents. Because, you know, everything that you were told about the Gremlins, about not to do, that kid did it. And look where that left him. So I think...
You mentioned Home Alone, didn't you?
Yes.
Home Alone's in there, but we're up into the 90s then. Jumanji, Matilda. Matilda's another one. They have a remake of that, of course, recently as well, but I don't think it's as good as the first one with Danny DeVito.
Oh, the Danny DeVito one. And do you know that he's in New York now and does special occasions where they've got a massive orchestra, they screen the movie and he narrates it live.
I'm there.
In front of there. It's just, when you hear Danny DeVito and his voice, oh, he's just so beautiful. We all always wanted to do magic as well with Matilda. Remember she started, you know, pointing her finger at the book and all the book started rising and all that.
If only. We'd still like to be able to do that. Rossi, it's great to do nostalgia with you.
Oh, yes.
Thank you so much. That's Crossy there. We'll take a break.